Toronto Rotman's MBA program, named by Top MBA and Canadian Business as Canada's leading MBA program, has a new admissions director. Let's meet him and hear what you need to do to get accepted to Canada's number one MBA program at a time when Canada, unlike many other countries in the Western world, is very welcoming to immigrants. Welcome to the 299th episode of Admission Straight Talk, Accepted's podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result? You get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in!" And not only in, but in at the best program for you. Today's featured resource is the Ultimate Guide to Becoming a Competitive MBA Applicant. You can download this free guide to learn how to improve your weak points and highlight your strengths as you apply to your dream schools. You'll find links in the show notes at accepted.com/299, and that's, again, for the download page. It gives me great pleasure to have, for the first time on Admission Straight Talk, Imran Kanga, Director of Recruitment and Admissions for the full-time MBA program at the Rotman School of Management at the University of Toronto. Imran attended Ridley College for his bachelor's and earned his international MBA from York University's Schulich School of Business in 2010. But he wasn't finished yet at Schulich. Upon graduation, he became the Assistant Director of Marketing and Recruitment for the Schulich School of Business in India and managed a Schulich MBA program there. In December, in other words, 4 weeks ago, he became the Director of Recruitment and Admission for the University of Toronto's Rotman School of Management's MBA program. Imran, welcome to Admission Straight Talk.
Thank you very much, Linda. It's a pleasure to be here.
And delighted to talk to you. Can you give us an overview of the Rotman MBA program, focusing on its more distinctive aspects? That's just to start.
Yeah, absolutely, Linda. So the Rotman MBA program is a two-year full-time MBA. Starting off with, so the first part of the program is obviously the core component. It's where students get understanding of all the basic business fundamentals and the foundations of management concepts. The second part of the program is where students get to choose from our 15 concentrations. Some of these are quite unique to Rotman, which is why I'm bringing up concentrations, because areas like investment banking, business design, innovation are quite unique to the Rotman School. So students have the opportunity to specialize if they like in the second year of the program. In terms of other initiatives that are distinctive to Rotman, in recent years we've launched a creative destruction lab. We have the Design Works Lab, which is a lab focused on business design and innovation. And we also have the Self-Development Lab, which is a really exciting initiative at Rotman that allows students or gives students the opportunity to develop their leadership potential, their communication, and their presence.
Wow, that is interesting. We're going to go back to those labs a little bit,
absolutely, later. We also, we've launched a flexible internship program, which is a one of its kind, where students in the second year, so it's now mandatory for students to do
it. Oh, really?
But they can do it either in the summer, in the fall, or in the winter term. So they can choose when they want to do their internship, depending on the electives that they want to choose. So, if there's some electives that are only offered in one term, they can choose to do courses that term and do an internship another term. But our research has found that students that do an internship as part of an MBA program are three times more likely to get a job upon graduation. So the internship is an integral part of the MBA, and it's now mandatory for our students. So the flexible internship program is also a very distinctive feature of the Rotman program.
Do you have the option where somebody can do an internship while attending classes, like as a instead of a class, or is it always, is the flexibility that you can do a full-time internship anytime from the summer in between your first and year, second
Absolutely.
Year into the second?
Yeah. So it's a full-time.
It's always time.
Absolutely.
Got it. It's just the timing of the internship that can vary.
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. Because sometimes it might also be easier, I assumed, to get a fall internship because you don't have as much competition.
Absolutely. So it's flexible. right? So it gives students
employers a lot of, like it.
Yeah, a lot of employers have structured summer internship programs, but a lot don't. It gives employers the flexibility to also get students on board when it's convenient and when they have a requirement for it. So, yeah, so it works both ways.
Fascinating. All right, well, we're going to go back to labs in a minute. In January, Bloomberg Business Week proclaimed, Canada says, give me your MBAs, your entrepreneurs. And that's not quite the Statue of Liberty, but the article points out that in 3 years, Canada has experienced a 60% jump in international students studying in Canada. And I know Rotman has experienced an enormous increase in application volume. And certainly last year or so, there's actually been a decline for most top business schools in the United States, and I believe in the UK. And furthermore, more than 65% of foreign-born adults in Canada in 2017 had a post-secondary degree. Now, how does Rotman MBA fit into this picture of Canada welcoming the talented, the educated, and yes, the entrepreneurial yearning to breathe opportunity?
That's a great question. So yes, you know,
it's Canada, also a very poor takeoff on the Statue of Liberty and Emerald Lazarus's poem. But anyways,
I'll just stay away from that.
Okay, fair enough.
But focusing on Canada,
yes,
I think it has been in the forefront. You know, it has come under the spotlight, so to speak, in the last 3 years or so, in terms of being a destination, a preferred destination for students to come internationally to study in the country. And it's very much in line with the government's goal to attract top talent from across the globe to not only come to Canada to study, but then also to live and work post-graduation. So Rotman is very much a part of that government initiative to attract top talent. And as you said, you know, we've experienced a tremendous amount of growth over the last 3 years. Taking a look at the stats, I mean, year on year growth has been consistently over 30%. What it's allowing us to do.
That would imply, I assume, that you've roughly doubled your application volume.
Absolutely. How it impacts us is we're able to be a lot more selective with the candidates that we're admitting into the program. But it also adds a lot of diversity in the class, because we're getting applications from countries that, students from countries that would traditionally apply to the US or to the UK. And we're seeing a lot more of those applications now. So it's a tremendous opportunity for us to diversify our class. And that obviously enriches the student experience, because they have classmates now from all over the world, from different backgrounds, different walks of life.
Right, I'm sure. There was a panel at the Association of International Graduate Admissions Consultants Conference a couple of years ago, and the Rotman and the panel was discussing the impact of changing immigration, attitudes towards immigration, and the only one smiling on the panel was the Rotman representative.
I didn't see why.
Yeah, and the other ones were, you know, their application volume was down.
I think that's also what makes Canada more attractive to international students. Is not only are you coming to a country that is a lot more immigration friendly, but it's also a much, you know, relatively safer country. Toronto is one of the safest cities in the world. It's also one of the fastest growing cities in the world. So it's an exciting place to be. And post-graduation, students are allowed to live and work in the country for up to 3 years on a work permit that's given by the government. So the way the government has structured the incentive is that they actually want students to stay rather than having, you know, a time limit on how long they can stay after graduation.
Right. That makes a big difference. Mm. Let's look at the labs that you were discussing. You were talking about the Creative Production Lab. I guess innovation lab and the personal development lab. Right. Can you go into each of those? I mean, when are they throughout the 2 years? Are they a particular quarter or semester in the program? How do they work? And can you do all three, or do you have to choose, or does it not make sense to do all three?
I'll start with the self-development lab.
Okay.
So self-development lab is a very, I mean, it's a space where students can go to develop their communication skills, their leadership qualities, their presentation skills. So it's very much focused on that. And the lab actually uses some very, it's a very high-tech space, and the lab has some phenomenal technology that can detect things like nervousness, things like anxiety, things like your level of, how tired you are while you're talking, how many times you say during a conversation. So we have instructors that are experts in the field that help students through these and coach them through these problems that they may be having. The self-development lab is available to students throughout the 2 years. They have workshops that are running throughout the 2 years that students can participate in. The creative destruction lab is a bit different. It's now structured as a two-part course. So students that are interested in being a part of the creative destruction lab have to take an elective, a creative destruction lab elective in year one, followed by a year-long course in the second year. But the lab itself is really a venture accelerator. It's a venture lab. So we invite tech startups that are at the seed stage, so very early stages, to help them scale up. It's a partnership with the government. So we've received grants from the government to help accelerate tech startups. And there's some really high tech, there's some really great work coming out of this lab in areas like space, quantum computing, in AI, and obviously fintech, which is a huge focus for banks in Canada, at least right now. So this lab provides mentorship to entrepreneurs and founders of these tech startups, provides funding, but also advice from our partners that may be successful entrepreneurs, VC firms, and also gives them access to management talent. So our students can also be a part of the lab. Many of these founders of the tech startups may be masters in engineering students or graduates or, PhDs in astrophysics that do not have the management knowledge or know-how to market their products or to scale up their companies. And
that's where they're going.
So that's where the management know-how comes in, and students as well as faculty are very involved with the lab and with these entrepreneurs as well. So that's the creative destruction lab, and the business design lab is another initiative, and it's another brainchild of Rotman, which is focused on business innovation and design. So it's more of more to do with technology and how businesses are transformed with the use of technology and innovation.
Is it more corporate than, let's say, how does it just differ from the creative design lab?
I think it would lean more towards the academic side because it's more training students, but it is done in partnership with companies for sure.
All right.
So and it's more towards the academics and the research.
I see. Okay. And the innovation lab or the business design lab, is that a 2-year program, or again, is it like one semester in the second year, or how does it work?
So it's not throughout the entire program. So students are selected to be a part of this, and they would typically participate in the DesignWorks lab in the second year.
Got it. And does anybody ever enroll in all three, or is that not discouraged? Does it even make sense?
Students are pressed for time. I don't think it's advisable to do all three.
Right.
But it is
coursework. I mean, it counts as
absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Because I can see where the personal development lab could really be valuable to anybody.
Absolutely. And students are encouraged to participate in the STL workshops. But you know, the CDL and the business design works, it's not for everyone, you know.
No.
Not everyone's interested in technology. So, but the students that are definitely have the option to participate.
Is there any lab directed more towards, or a special program directed towards? Well, you mentioned there's an investment banking concentration, which is fairly unusual. And you mentioned a lot of strength in fintech. Is there anything specifically for those fields, or is it, these seem, again, personal development is obviously for anybody, but the other two seem more technology oriented. Is that correct?
So, you know, one of your other questions was, what's new, right? And I was saving this for that question.
Go for it. Go for it.
So one of the, you know, a recent announcement was TD Bank has now partnered with Rotman and is giving us $4 million for our FinHub, which is another lab that's focused on new and emerging areas of finance like fintech, primarily blockchain technology, cryptocurrencies, and AI, you know, and machine learning. So, sure. So we are definitely a leader in that space. Our faculty are thought leaders in this area. So that's an exciting announcement that I was, you know, going to talk about. But yes, there are other labs specifically for finance. We have a trading lab. So for the students that are interested in investment banking, we have a dedicated trading lab. And we also run one of the largest trading competitions in the world.
Oh, wow. And again, these labs are not really extracurricular activities. They are electives, essentially, that students take, correct?
Part of the program, absolutely.
They're part of the program. Yeah. Wonderful. And the FinHub, that's specifically geared towards the newer technologies, or that can be, that's broader than that?
That's primarily, you know, the emerging trends and new technologies in finance.
Great, great. Now, let's turn to the application.
Sure.
Your site says that you are looking for four qualities, right? Intellectual horsepower, experience and impact, communication and presence, and then the spike factor. I'd like to focus on that last element, the spike factor, because I think the first three are fairly understandable, but the spike factor, that's wide open. So what is that?
And I think it's meant to be wide open, to be honest. It's, you know, so like you said, the first three sort of buckets of the application or components of the assessment are fairly straightforward. I mean, we want to know a student's academic ability, so their intellectual horsepower, their experience and impact, so what they've actually done at work up until this point, and communication and presence is also very important because they're going to be expected to, you know, actively communicate and be a part of the class. And it's also important not only in the program, but also for employers. So that's all also a very important component. But the spike factor, so that this was initially developed by McKinsey, actually, to differentiate their candidates when, you know, when looking at recruitment. So this is something that we were super excited to incorporate into our mission assessment. And it gives students the opportunity to show us why they stand out. So, you know, they've ticked all the boxes, they've checked all the boxes of, you know, all the other admission criteria, but what makes them unique? What makes them really shine from the rest? And it could be, you know, it could be that they've participated in a lot of extracurricular activities. They could have participated in, or they could have been a part of a lot of community initiatives. We have, you know, artists in the program, musicians. We have students that have traveled extensively and have been, very interested in cultural immersion and speak multiple languages. So all of these factors are what I think constitutes spike factor and what differentiates students from the rest. For us, it's important because it also gives us a different perspective on what the student brings to the class. So it's not just about their experience and academics, but, you know, there's something really unique or special about this candidate that would add a lot of value to their classmates in the program. And so that's a really important consideration for us.
Right. I frequently, obviously, talk about admissions. And I talk about the four things that MBAs need to have. I talk about the ability to do the work, personal qualities that business schools find attractive, which varies slightly school to school, but usually leadership and impact is pretty high up there. I talk about fit with a particular program, and I talk about the ability to stand out from the applicant pool.
Absolutely.
And I think that's probably the most overlooked aspect, especially when your applicant pool grows like yours has. You're not choosing just based on scores and test scores and grades, because then you'd have a class full of 4.0s and 750s.
Exactly.
Clearly you don't. So I find it very interesting that the way you define it. And also in terms of diversity, I've defined diversity, and again, I think that applicants need to think of it very narrowly as identity, your background, deeds, what you've, you know, ideas. I call it the three ids, okay? Identity, ideas or deeds, you know, accomplishments, impact, etc. And then ideas, your perspective, which is where a musician or somebody, so again, I feel validated.
No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. You know, it's not just about having the grades or, the fantastic work experience. It's about so much more than that. And that's why these components like the spike factor are really important considerations as part of the, holistic, to get a holistic picture of an applicant.
Okay. I'll link to, I have some podcasts that I've done specifically on diversity where I laid out these ideas. I'll link to it from the show notes at accept.com/299, but that's for later. Now, Rotman's application includes a resume, a traditional essay, a short reflection question, a timed written reflection, and two videos before a by invitation personal one-on-one interview. I'm sure you're not requiring all these things just to torment applicants. I'm sure there's a reason behind each of them. Can you provide the why behind these elements, especially since you're reviewing the application holistically? So each one must add something.
Absolutely. And let me just preface this by saying each one of those elements that you just mentioned link to one of those four buckets that we were talking about earlier. So, the resume, for example, links to experience and impact. You know, they have to talk about not only what they've done at work, but what their extracurricular activities are. And they also list their education, so their intellectual horsepower. The traditional essay is, going back to what you were talking about, fit. It's why do you want to do an MBA and why Rotman is what we're asking. So that's really important. I mean, that shows us that the student has done their research, that they know what the program is about, that, they know what to expect from the program. And so that's why the traditional essay has to be a part of the application, because it's important. The reflection question was an interesting addition. It essentially asks the student to list out 3 to 5 qualities that they see in themselves. This question is really meant, it's for students it shows us that a student is self-aware. Often we as admissions advisors, when we're coaching students, we tell them that, before diving into the application, it's important to take a step back and assess what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are. So this question is really just for us to validate that they've actually done that exercise, because it is an important it's important to do that before they get into the application. And it's for, if a student lists obviously that they're very outgoing, during the interview, we can validate that they actually are self-aware, because if they are indeed very outgoing, it gives us that validation. So that's
quickly.
I'm sorry?
It comes across very quickly.
Exactly. So it shows us that the student is self-aware, and it's important. The timed written essay and the two video essays are, they've also been added just to give us you know, an authentic picture of who the student is. Often, you know, the essays that students have to write are often scripted, and they have a lot of time to do these, to draft these essays and then revise them and get them proofread. But, you know, the time-written essay is, it gives us a sense of who they are genuinely. Can they, the questions are quite simple, and the answers don't have to be lengthy. They're just, you know, can the student write a short paragraph without making those errors? And you know, are they able to communicate their ideas clearly on paper? And I think it's the same with the video essay. It's, you know, giving us a sense of who the student is authentically without all the preparation that goes behind, you know, the rest of the application. Can the student communicate ideas clearly in a very short, concise period of time? Because they're only given about, you know, 90 seconds to answer a question without giving them a lot of time to think about it. So are they able to think on the fly, think off the cuff, and come up with clear and concise answers is what we're after. And it's also, it's what, you know, before the interview, before the actual admission, the formal admission interview, this is that one opportunity for us to get a, you know, to put a face to a name, so to speak, because we've read their essays, we've seen their resume, and then this is a chance for us to see, you know, their communication and presence.
I would also assume that given the high volume of international applicants that you're getting, part of what you're doing with the video is assessing their English fluency.
English fluency, you know, we're not looking for perfection. We're right. looking for potential. So
right.
if they're, you know, if a student has an amazing application, but, you know, they're an international student and their English isn't up to the mark, you know, that for us means that they just need some extra, you know, they'll have to put in some extra work with maybe some English classes or some tutoring or mentoring during the program, you know. So it just gives us, like you said, English fluency, but that doesn't mean
presence.
That it's exclude them from,
you know. Would you ever admit an applicant and say, you know, you're admitted conditionally upon you completing blah, 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 blah,
sure.
whether it's English or quant courses or whatever?
We do have a pre-program that, you know, we recommend to students to do. So, you know, students, especially students that don't have a business background, often
right.
do benefit from these, from, you know, a pre-program that gives them sort of a crash course, so to speak, in the basics of, let's say, finance or Excel modeling or accounting, so that they're not overwhelmed once they get into the program. And we do have ESL as part of the pre-program. So if we do find that a student can really benefit from this pre-program, we would recommend it to them as part of the admission offer.
Okay. What distinguishes applicants who get interview invitations from those who don't, other than stats? Now, you know, several years ago, there was an article about how you use the AWA from the GMAT far more than I think almost any other business school. So that was then, that was an important element. I don't know if it still is. But what else? What does it?
So I think we obviously look at all the different components of the application. It's not like one is weighted over the other. I think all of them are looked at quite holistically. And, you know, I think we're looking for overall, you know, they have to have done well overall in the application. So, you know, someone that has 770 GMAT, but then is really lacking in another area would be a red flag for us, you know, but mm-hmm. someone that has, that has managed to check the boxes consistently across all the application criteria would be a very strong candidate for us. So, you know, it's not, and it's, again, it's not all about the stats, as you said, right. It could be the spike factor. You know, if a student is extremely yeah. spiky, you know, that may be the deciding factor. It could be at any given time, you know, it could be something that they said in their essay that really stood out, you know, that makes them that would make them a great candidate for the program. It could be something that they talk about in the interview, it could be something that they said in the video essay that made them really stand out. So at the end of the day, I think the students that definitely make the cut are those that stand out. And whatever they could do to stand out, I think is important, because that really, I think, is the difference between the students that get in and the students that don't.
Okay. What can the student invited to interview expect?
So our interviews are typically, they're done in person if possible. So we do have admissions representatives that are constantly traveling around the world. So if it's possible to do it in person, that's our preference, to do it in person. But if not, then we do Skype interviews. Our interviews are typically, I would say on average, about 45 minutes. And they're really, we're trying to dig a little deeper into the student's profile. So asking them questions about their work experience, about their extracurricular activities, really about their entire application. Yeah. And also about their sort of future aspirations, because it's really important for us to know that before, admitting them into the program.
Right. Now, I assume you still have some room left in your entering class of 2019.
Not too much. As I was saying, we're just entering our round two, which is our largest round. We do have two more rounds after this, but those tend to be quite small, because most of the class will be full after our round two deadline.
Wow. Okay. So this show will actually air February 19th. Mm-hmm. Okay. So is there still a round left for 2019?
Yes, there would be. There's a round in April that they could apply for. It's just, I would just, be mindful of an international applicant, because it just leaves them with very little time
for the visa.
For the visas, we may have space available in the program, but if they can't make it here on time, then that's an issue. So, yeah, I mean, I would caution against an international student applying in that late sure. round, just because of the other formalities that they have to go through before they actually get here.
What advice would you have for someone thinking ahead? Okay, let's go the other way, to a 2019-2020 application. In other words, they want to matriculate in 2020. So now they're lining up things.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think it's a great time. I don't think it's ever too early to start thinking about, thinking ahead. And if you are looking at doing an MBA program next year, this would be a fantastic time to start narrowing down the schools that you want to apply to. If you've narrowed down Rotman as one of the schools that you would like to apply to, I would say start doing your research, start reaching out to alumni, start reaching out to current students, to faculty, and we'd be happy to make those connections. If you're interested in finance, for example, we'd be happy to, connect you to an alum that's working in finance in Toronto, so that they can talk about their experiences, share their stories, and be available to answer any questions that they have. So I would say start doing your research. One thing that we were talking about is sort of taking a step back and reflecting. So this would be a great time to do that as well. Start planning ahead, planning your application.
Taking the GMAT or GRE.
Oh, well, of course. That's a given, so they have to start thinking about, their preparation strategy for those tests. If they're an international student, they'd also have to take either the TOEFL or the IELTS. So that's another, that's another consideration. And both of these tests do require some preparation and planning. So, thinking a year out is a great thing, because if you do a test and you're not happy with the score, you then leave yourself enough time to take it again before the deadline. So,
right.
So
that's great advice. That's absolutely great advice. I mean, I'm disappointed when people come to me like the month before the application, because I know that if they'd come a year or 6 months even before the application. There's so much that they could have done to just improve their qualifications.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, again, if a student knows that, you know, they want to be admitted into a program starting in 2020, this would be a great time. As you just made a great point, you know, start thinking about what you can add to your profile between now and that time.
Well, how can you make yourself spikier?
Spikier, exactly.
Right. What do you see coming down the pike in your crystal ball for the MBA program at Rotman?
So I think, you know, just given current trends, I think our program, we're going to see a lot more highly qualified candidates getting into the program. I think the way the market is trending with the, you know, with the introduction of a lot more master's programs, the MBA market is shifting slightly to a slightly older audience. So I see that trend even in our current applicant pool. Another really exciting piece of news for us is that our dean, Tiff Macklin, was just reappointed for another 5-year term. So looking down the next sort of 5 years, our Dean Macklem's focus has always been on sort of relentless innovation. So, you know, I could definitely see a lot more of these labs and these initiatives and these public and private partnerships being part of the program over the next 5 years, for sure. Given our applicant trends and the way Canada is trending on the global stage right now, I definitely see a lot more diversity in our program, which is really exciting for us.
Any plans to grow the class size? Rotman has always been a fairly small class.
We're a relatively small program, and I think we're gonna stay that way, just because, you know, the increase in applicant pool is a way for us to improve the quality of students in our program, not just increase the class size. So.
Okay. Imran, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. Where can listeners and potential applicants learn more about the University of Toronto Rotman's MBA program?
I would say the best place to start would be the website, www.rotman.utoronto.ca. There's links on the website to download a brochure, to connect with admissions. So if you send us your resume or if you're having questions, please feel free to fill out the form online on the website. And one of our admissions team would be happy to get in touch with you and do, sort of pre-profile assessment for you. So we do offer that to everyone that writes into us. So please do stay in touch. We're active on all social media channels as well. So follow us on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Twitter as well. We do have a lot of events, almost every week. We have book launches, we have government officials, including the Prime Minister who visited us last year, guest speakers, and some really exciting and interesting events happening at the school on a weekly basis. So if you're in the vicinity, come by, drop in, visit us, and, keep the conversation going.
And it's a beautiful facility. As we were talking before I started the recording, and I was saying I visited a few years ago, and it's a magnificent facility.
Absolutely. It's a not only a beautiful space, but it's also, the energy in the space is infectious. And I invite you all to come and see for yourself.
Okay. We'll take you up on that.
Absolutely.
Thanks again. We'll include links in the show notes at exhibit.com/299 to the University of Toronto Rotman site that Imran just mentioned, as well as to related articles and podcasts. Listener, I want to thank you too for joining Imran Kanga and me for our 299th episode. If you find the show worthwhile, please subscribe. Make sure you don't miss any future shows, be they with admissions directors, professors, current students, test prep pros, or alumni doing great things. Thanks again for coming. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week. And yes, next week is our 300th episode, and it's going to be a little different. Tune in and find out what we have up our sleeve.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.